Hello and welcome to my poster on Senoroviditis nematodes, population suppression, and gene drives, an emerging story. My name is Stephen von Statina, and I'm the head scientist in the Sculpting Evolution Group, where we aim to use bioengineering and directed evolution to try and solve some of the world's biggest problems. The problem I'm focusing on here is that of alien invasive species, which are decimating native fauna and flora in many places, but primarily on islands. The problem of rats is a big one. It's colonists spread rats throughout many island populations, and the native fauna and flora did not evolve to evade these predators, and so are being decimated. However, the primary mechanism to try and suppress rat populations are rodenticides, which are not fully effective at reducing populations, but instead are maintaining the status quo so that the fauna don't perish, but the rats are not being meaningfully suppressed. But also we consider that the rodenticides are inhumane because they cause brain hemorrhaging that lasts 3 days, essentially giving the rat a migraine for 3 days before it perishes. And so we want to use bioengineering both as a more powerful way to reduce rat populations, but also as a more humane way. So in panel two, I'm showing a sex biasing population suppression mechanism called daughterless, where in wild type, males and females mate to produce males and females, but in the daughterless approach, the engineered male will allow males to survive, but will kill females in utero. And so this would allow, in the bottom of panel two, alien invasive species to be reduced, allowing native fauna and flora to come back. And so how are we aiming to do this in rodents? So we will use Austin Burt's Y-linked editor approach, which he proposed in 2003, in which we will have an effector protein embedded on the Y chromosome so that it will be passed through the male lineage. In this case, it will be Cas9 nuclease and guides against our female target, which is the exist long non-coding RNA on chromosome X. The exist RNA is essential for initiating X chromosome inactivation of one of the X's in XX-bearing organisms. The A region of exist is absolutely essential for initiating this procedure, and so we are targeting that region with Cas9 guides with the aim to delete it from the chromosome. And so if a wild-type male mates with a wild-type female, it can produce either XX or XY progeny, both of which are viable. But if a daughterless male, engineered male, mates with a wild-type female, two things can happen. One, either the Y chromosome-bearing sperm can pass on the ability to continue editing exist and through a viable XY male progeny, or the edited X chromosome, which was edited in the male germline when Cas9 was expressed there, and the germline in the males is perfectly viable without exist, as is the X-bearing sperm. When this mates with a wild-type female, the XX oocyte that has inherited the edited X chromosome will not produce a viable embryo. It will die pre-implantation due to failure to inactivate the paternal X chromosome in the extraembryonic tissues. So this will reduce the female populations while allowing while biasing the population toward males. However, testing this in rodents, while absolutely essential to see if the mechanism works, would take an extremely long time to determine the evolutionary stability and population dynamics of such a population suppression mechanism. And so we aim to use C. elegans as a model to try and get at these important issues. The obstacles, of course, are that C. elegans are not XY, and they don't have exist. They use a different mechanism to inactivate the X chromosome, called dosage compensation. So how are we going to do this? Well, luckily, Jonathan Hodgkin has developed a series of sex determination mutants that mimic mechanisms from other species, and one of those is an XY worm, in which whatever chromosome has the male determining factor FEM1 essentially becomes the Y chromosome. And so we will use that system to mimic XY. How are we going to kill females? Well, we will use the Peale-Zeal toxin antitoxin system to specifically kill females. So this is two genes at the same locus on the chromosome. They're adjacent genes. And the Peale-1 is a sperm-delivered toxin, and Zeal-1 is the antidote. So in the top panels and the bottom of panel 5, the wild-type embryos have been given the Peale-1 toxin, but because they express the Zeal-1 antidote, they can survive embryogenesis and hatch. On the bottom two panels, C and D, what happens here is Peale-1 kills the embryo because it doesn't have the antidote. But is this really a useful model since it's a different mechanism? Well, the answer is yes, because the goal is not to determine using C. elegans whether the exist strategy would work. It would be to determine whether the evolutionary stability of such a population suppression mechanism actually works. Do Cas9 and the guides express over multiple generations, or does it break? Does resistance to the guide RNAs develop over time? And also the population dynamics, how many animals are needed to, in percent-wise, to the total population, and how many generations does it take for the population suppression to take effect. So C. elegans will allow us to look at 100 generations and over a billion organisms over the course of a year, and that will definitely get at the evolutionary stability. And during the course of that, we will also know and be able to predict the percent input of edited animals necessary to achieve good suppression. So how will this work in C. elegans? We'll generate three strains marked with different fluorescent colors, all in the Hodgkin XY background. And so we will edit the Zeal-Peale locus in strain 1 to insert an mTurk in place of the Zeal-Peale genes. So this will make a blue worm that will be female because it has no FEM1. In strain 2, we will again disrupt the Zeal-Peale locus and insert an mCherry and the FEM1 gene. So this becomes the Y chromosome. And these animals will be males, and they, again, lack Peale-Zeal. In strain 3, the Peale-Zeal locus will be kept intact, and we will add M-Venus and FEN1 downstream of this locus to give these animals a yellow color and also be males because they have FEM1. So down in panel 8, how will this work? If strain 1 and strain 2 are mated together, this is essentially just a colored female and a colored male that lack Peale-Zeal, so all the progeny will survive, and we'll just have the two colors distinguish males and females. On the right-hand side of panel 8, strain 1 is mated to strain 3. Strain 3 carries the Peale-Zeal toxin antitoxin, strain 1 does not. So if these two mate, the male progeny will survive because they have the Zeal-1 antidote, but the female progeny will not because they lack the antidote. And so this goes through many generations until there's so many males and not enough females that the population crashes. So in order to make this happen, we need a germline licensed Cas9. Those in C. elegans know that the default expression in the germline is off unless overcome by licensing factors. But luckily, the Jorgensen and Fire groups discovered that many native germline genes have large introns with PATC or periodic AT clusters, and that this is sufficient to induce licensing. And Matt Schwartz from Eric's lab had generated a licensed Cas9 line using this approach. And so right now what we're doing is identifying Cas9 guides to properly edit the Peale-Zeal locus to create strains 1, 2, and 3, and then it's off to the races to actually test this. The title of my poster also suggested gene drives, and so we're working on gene drives, which is an approach where the edited locus, the Y-linked editor in this case, would be preferentially inherited by majority of the progeny because it copies itself over each generation. And so it uses super Mendelian inheritance to ensure that the editor would be linked. And this would be a more powerful approach for a daughterless a drive. Right now we're focusing on the non-drive mechanism. And so with that, I'd like to thank the group on the bottom on panel 10, the funding sources, and called out specific members of the Worm community for helpful discussions and reagents throughout the years. So thank you very much, and I look forward to speaking with anyone who has questions on Friday at noon Eastern Time. Thank you.